Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Good morning. Why don't you have a seat? Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you for joining us online. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey, and I'm the pastor here. And so I forgot to say that. You're like, you're Trey. That's nice. And? Hey, question for you this morning as we get started. Need you to think back for a second. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you can remember exactly where you were and what happened March 23rd of 2012? Don't look at a calendar, but March 23rd, 2012. It was a Friday, if that helps. It was a Friday. Now, for most of us, unless it was your birthday or something, you probably don't remember. For me, March 23rd, 2012 is a day I will never forget as long as I live. To explain, I got to go back a few years further. We officially launched Wellspring Church September 13th, 2009. And we were meeting at the movie theaters at Broadway at the Beach. They no longer exist, by the way. But that's where we were meeting for the first year, year and a half of our church. That's where we started. And how we ended up there is actually a story for another day. But that's where we met, and maybe a few of you might have found us at the movie theater. And if you did find us at the movie theater, I always say thank you for sticking with us, because it was rough in the movie theater. But it was our home, and I look back on it fondly. But after about a year of being in the movie theater, I kind of decided, yeah, we need to move. We need to move somewhere else. And I think I was the last person to figure that out. I think everyone else had known pretty much the whole time, we got to move out of this place. But so we started looking for a place to move. And by this time, we had some connections in our community. And through one of those connections, we leveraged that connection to begin a conversation with Myrtle Beach Middle School, which is now Myrtle Beach Elementary School. But we reached out to Myrtle Beach Middle School because for a church planner, like middle school and high schools, they're kind of like the sweet spot. They're kind of the dream locations for us because there's typically a room with a stage that's already set up and with chairs. There's typically like great parking. There's typically places where you can do children's environments. Most people already know where those schools are. So schools are kind of a first go-to spot for people when you're starting a church. Well, when we had moved here, everybody had said, man, don't talk to Myrtle Beach Schools. Don't talk to Horry County Schools. You'll never get in. You'll never get in. And even as we started having these conversations with Myrtle Beach Middle School, we had some local pastors be like, you'll never get in. Well, we had a conversation, led to a couple conversations, and eventually they said yes. They're like, man, we'd love for you to move in. And so we were going to move from the movie theater to Myrtle Beach Middle School. We were very, very excited about it. And we were excited about, you know, kind of relaunching the church. We were like, man, this is it. Like, you know, we're getting out of this movie theater. Man, God's going to do great things. And so we kind of put a budget together because we knew this move was going to require us to buy some equipment. And we were going to have to do a bunch of stuff. And we figured it was going to take about $60,000 for us to be able to make this move, which is a lot of money now. But 10 years ago, that was more money than we could fathom raising, you know. But 60 grand was what we needed. And so we started praying, and before we could even announce to the church that we were moving, we had somebody reach out to us who was attending our church at the time, and they said, hey, you know, I just got this large inheritance, and I'd like to give some to the church. That's always a fun call for a pastor to receive, by the way. I'm just planting a seed. And so, So we went and met with the guy, and he gave us like way, way more money than we were expecting. And then we had also had started talking to this church planning organization, and they heard about the move, and they were like, hey, we want to give you the money to make the move, not loan you the money to make the move. We want to give you the money. Give me, you don't have to pay it back. And so before we had even announced to the church this move to Myrtle Beach Middle School, we were fully funded in the move. Like, God had provided all the money we needed to make this move. And so, like, we were able to announce to the church, hey, we're making this move, and we have all the money we need. Isn't God great? We moved into Myrtle Beach Middle School April of 2011, right before Easter, and almost instantly our church doubled in size. By that fall, we had almost tripled in size. January of 2012, we had so many people coming, we had to start a second service to make room, And I mean, by the first quarter of 2012, we were like, this is it. We knew God had called us here, and he's moving, and our church is growing. This is amazing. At the time, our staff was still very small. It was just me and TJ Goff, our worship leader, and Eric Colquitt, who's now our Students and Connections pastor. And we were the only three guys on staff. And so by March of 2012, man, I mean, God was doing great things, but we were running hard. I mean, we had been running completely since the move. So I was like, you know what? Let's do something nice for the staff. Let's do something nice for our spouses. And so there was a marriage conference that was happening in the upstate. And I'm like, okay, we're gonna take our spouses. We're going to go spend the night. We're going to have a good time. We're going to rest. We're going to hang out with each other. And the marriage conference began on March 23rd. Of 2012. And we went to that marriage conference, and it was great. Great event. We all got in the car to head back to the hotel. And Eric Colquitt says, guys, I got an email from the middle school. And from the tone of his voice, it was not a good email. And the email said that we had to be out in 3 months. No debate, no talking about it, no nothing. Just, hey, we're done. I'll give you 3 months, but you got to go. That car ride was pretty quiet. And, you know, I hope that I put up a brave face in the car. I really do, as the leader of this organization. But in my heart, I was devastated. I was confused. I mean, we had prayed. We had done what God had asked us to do. We had made this move because he had asked us to make it, we thought, and things were working, and it was successful, and then all gone. See, we had looked for other places. We knew there was nowhere else to meet. We knew Myrtle Beach Middle School was it. They were the only place that would say yes. They were our only opportunity. And so right in this moment of when we think we're just following God and things are going great, we hit this wall. And I didn't know what to do. I had frustration. I had some anger. I felt doubt. But the biggest thing I kept asking over and over and over is, God, why? Why would you lead us down this road, get us here, and then seemingly stop? And the reason I felt that way was because this door closing was a huge obstacle to what I saw as God's plan and God's path for the future of our church. And that obstacle obscured my view of everything else. I tell you that story because I'm convinced that if you haven't already, at some point in your life, particularly if you consider yourself a Christian and you're going to pursue God with your life, you're going to have a moment like that. Maybe you're in a moment like that right now. A moment where, man, you were following God and you were walking and you thought you were doing everything he wanted you to do and you're chasing him and then something happens and the future goes away. You can't see the other side because there is a massive obstacle in the way. If you've ever felt that way, if you currently feel that way, or if you believe me that at some point in the future you might feel that way, then you pick the perfect week to be here. Because we're continuing our series today called Waymaker. And it's a series about what do we do when God takes longer than we want him to fulfill the promises we believe he's made to us. As we said at the top, if you missed last week, man, I'm going to encourage you, if you don't have it, grab our app. You can download that. It's a great way to keep up with everything we're doing, but you can also keep track of our series. And what we're doing in this series is we're studying one group of people. We're studying specifically the nation of Israel. And the reason we're studying them is because they have a lot in common with us. We detailed it all last week. But basically, they were a group of people pursuing a promise from God. Every single one of us in this room that consider ourselves Christ followers are a group of people pursuing a promise of God. A promise that God's going to bring a richer, more satisfying, more fulfilling life here on earth, and then eternity with him in heaven. And what we discovered last week as we followed them on their journey to their promised land, see, God had made them a promise to give them a home, just like God has made us a promise to give us a home. And as we ended last week, they began their journey to the promised land, and God revealed something to them and to us. Because when they started on their journey, they didn't go the shortest route to their journey. God actually said, I'm not going to take you the shortest route because the shortest route's dangerous. So I'm going to take you the long way on our journey. And what we discovered last week is that a detour isn't a delay when it directs us away from danger. See, sometimes we think God is taking us on a detour. God is delaying what he's promised us. And kind of the heart of this series is for help us understand, and know God is so good, even when God takes us the long way, even when God takes us around something, even when it feels like God's dragging his feet, he's really protecting us. He's really helping us. He's really looking out for us. And that's where we ended last week, but today we're going to pick it back up. Because what happens when that detour turns into a dead end? What happens when that detour is an email kicking you out of the place you thought God had given you to grow the church God asked you to create? What do we do then? What do we think then? How do we feel then? See, that's the power of the series, because as we look at the nation of Israel, we can learn from their experiences. We can learn from their mistakes, and we can prepare ourselves for the moment when we hit the obstacle. We can learn from our previous obstacles. We can get better perspective for the current obstacle we may find ourselves in to know how to process what's happened. So what I want to do today is I want to pick right back up where we left the nation of Israel. If you were here last week, you know that God had delivered them out of slavery. He was taking them, he was beginning their journey to the promised land, and God had given them a visible representation of his presence to follow. By day, he appeared in front of them as a pillar of clouds. By night, he appeared as a pillar of fire. So at any moment, the nation of Israel could look and they could see exactly where God was leading them. And so they do that. They follow God. And he leads them to camp on the shores of the Red Sea. And then God stops moving. And they say, okay, I guess we're going to camp here for a while. So they are perfectly, completely following God. He camps them beside the Red Sea. And when you know it, the Egyptians, the people who had let the Israelites go, change their mind. That's where we pick up the story. It says, when word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind. They said, what have we done letting all these Israelite slaves get away? They're like, man, what are we doing? This is our labor force. Well, no, we got to go get them. And so Pharaoh changes his mind. And Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its own commander. So Pharaoh says, not only have I changed my mind, we're going to go get them. And he unleashes the entire army on the nation of Israel. Well, there's approximately 2 million of them traveling through the desert. They're not that hard to track. And so Pharaoh follows their path, and then this happened. As Pharaoh approached them, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. Do we blame them? Because remember where God had led them. He had led them to a body of water. He had led them to the Red Sea. So the nation of Israel, 2 million strong, is camped. The Red Sea's on this side. The Egyptian army's on this side. Nowhere to go. Dead end. And here's the thing. They had been led there by the God of the universe. Now, I got to point this out because we're going to talk a lot about dead ends today. And there are some times in our lives that we lead ourselves straight into a dead end. Right? God's leading this way, and we're like, nope, I'd rather go this way, and we hit a dead end. That's an indication to turn around and go back to God. But today, the question is, what do we do when we feel like God leads us into a dead end? How do we process that? How do we process the obstacles that come up when we are following God? How do we process the obstacles that came up on March 23rd, 2012? We were doing everything God asked us to do, and then we get this email. How do we process that? Because we're going to naturally process it one way. We're going to have questions. We're going to doubt, because that's what the nation of Israel did. They had questions. They doubted, and here's what they said. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there graves enough for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? They turn on Moses, and they turn on God. And it's because they lose perspective of the situation. Let me show you how far they went. Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? Leave us alone, we said. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. The nation of Israel loses all perspective in this moment. Now, I want to step back and be clear. I'm not judging them. I'm informing you. Because when you come up against, or when you have come up against that obstacle that you feel like is stopping you from pursuing God, the natural tendency is going to be to question God, because the obstacle will cause you to lose perspective. Because the obstacle gets big and God gets small. And again, I'm not judging, I'm informing. If the obstacle were small, we'd go around it. If the obstacle were small, we'd just move past it. The obstacle has to be big enough to stop us. And an obstacle big enough to stop us is going to obscure our view of God for a moment, for a season, unless we allow ourselves to be pre-prepared for the future obstacles, which is exactly what we're trying to do in this series. But naturally speaking, the nation of Israel in that moment could not see God. They saw a dead end. They saw an army attacking. They thought they were done. And so they lost perspective in that moment. In that car that night on March 23rd, I probably lost perspective for a moment. I probably thought, well, I guess we had a good run. Guess we'll hang it up. I'm not sure what I'm going to go do, but it's over. Just for a moment. Because that's what obstacles can do. And it's into this moment that God will speak to us. And to the nation of Israel, he spoke through Moses. He spoke through their leader. Because Moses had God's perspective. And that's what we need in those moments. Because when we're so close to the obstacle that we can't see around, the only opportunity we have is to look up. And to say, hey, God, what do you see that I don't? Because I just see an obstacle. It's right here. I don't know where we're going. What do you see? And that's where Moses points the people. Here's what he says. Moses told the people, he said, hey, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. He says, the Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. So just stay calm. Can you imagine the people when Moses said, just stay calm? Stay calm. There's a body of water on this side. Moses, I don't even notice. Most of us can't swim. And there's the Egyptian army, and they don't look happy. Stay calm. See, here's what Moses understood. And here's what I hope God can teach me and you and all of us today. It's this simple truth. When God leads us to an obstacle, it's always an opportunity. Again, when God leads us to an obstacle, when you walk away from God into an obstacle, turn around, please. It is the opportunity for you to change your mind about going the way you're going. But when God leads us to an obstacle, man, it's always an opportunity. God is always up to something more. And it's typically one of two things. God is either trying to develop our gifts or deepen our faith. One of two. Maybe both. He's trying to develop something in us, or he's trying to deepen our trust in him. Let me show you what I mean. So Moses makes that speech. He says, hey, trust God. God will protect us. He turns back to God, and here's what God says to him. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? He says, tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Now, let's just be clear. Up to this moment, Moses had no idea he had the capacity to part water. Quite frankly, who am I? I think God was a little hard on Moses. I don't think what Moses was walking around just to, you know what, I bet if I raise my hands over this water, it's just going to part right in the middle. I bet. But see, God knew more than Moses did. And God knew what he had equipped Moses to do. And he was saying, Moses, you got this, buddy. Trust me and get moving. Don't miss this. Those of us that consider ourselves Christians, people of faith, there will be times in our lives God will allow obstacles to appear because he wants us to realize that he's developed something in us we don't even know we have. But we don't discover it if we don't have the obstacle. We don't discover what God can do in us and through us if we never have the challenges. We don't discover the power of God until we need the power of God. And so it's into that moment when Moses says, hey, help. God inspires Moses and equips Moses and says, man, you got what you need. I'm with you, but I want you to raise your hand. I want you to use your staff. See, sometimes when we hit an obstacle, we feel like God's put it there. God's waiting on us to look around and say, okay, what do I have? What has God given me? What has God equipped me with? What can I use right now to try to overcome this? We look to God and say, God, why'd you do this? And God's like, I've prepared you for this very moment. But you've got to walk into it because you're not going to discover how much I've equipped you until you allow yourself to be tested, until you allow some resistance to happen. And so Moses is like, okay, didn't realize I could do that, but I'm going to raise my hand and we'll see what happens. At the same time, in this obstacle, while God is equipping Moses, he physically moves to grow Israel's faith. Watch this. Then the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel through the pillars, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The Red Sea was in front of them. That's where the pillar had led them. The Egyptian army was behind them. That's where the danger was coming from. So God's presence literally moves from in front of them to behind them, between them and the Egyptian army. God literally had their back. Watch this. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night long. Yeah, the Egyptians weren't coming anywhere near the floating ball of fire in the sky. They're like, Pharaoh, we love you. They got a fireball. So God literally in this moment, positions himself between them and the danger. He says, hey, I know I led you here, and I know you're afraid, but I got your back. I haven't gone anywhere. My presence is here. I'm never going to leave you. And so with things positioned, Moses obeys. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So Moses obeys and says, okay. And the seas part right down the middle. And watch this. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. God took the obstacle and said, I'll show you. He literally made a way through the water. And watch this. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. Filled with awe. Don't miss this. There is no awe without the obstacle. If they don't experience the obstacle, if they don't experience the fear, if they don't experience the questioning, they never get to the awe. They never have their eyes opened to the power of God. They never have their eyes opened to everything he can do, to everything he can be, to all the ways he can provide. It is the obstacle that tests their faith. It is the obstacle that gives them the moment to say, what are we going to do? And the power of God moves in a visible way, and they're filled with awe. And watch what that awe does. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. When they saw, they had awe, and their faith grew. Their faith strengthened. They had a deeper belief in the God of the universe. And the same God that walked them through that obstacle is the one who has walked us through every obstacle we've ever encountered, and the one who will walk us through every obstacle we ever will encounter. Now, what he wants us to understand today, in this moment, what he wants us to pre-decide right now, what he wants us to bake into our brains, and so anytime we're following him and we feel like something happened, we feel like a door's been shut, we feel like an obstacle's come up, and we don't know how we're going to keep pursuing God, we don't know how we're going to keep moving forward, anytime that happens in our career, anytime that happens in a relationship, anytime that happens in anything we think we're pursuing for God, what he's asking us and encouraging us to believe, to learn from their experience, is this simple truth. When God leads us to an obstacle, it's always an opportunity. He's always up to something bigger and something better, which means when you face that obstacle, if you're in an obstacle right now, the most powerful thing you can pray is these words, God, help me to see the opportunity in this obstacle. God, help me to see what you're up to in this situation. God, help me to see how you can develop my gifts. God, help me to see, what are you trying to develop in me right now? What are you trying to grow in me? What is the thing I'm kind of sensing I might should do, but I'm kind of scared to do? What is it? God, show me how you want to develop me into this moment, and I'll obey, I'll follow, I'll go. Show me how you want to develop my gifts. Or God, show me how you want to deepen my faith. Show me how you want. Maybe you just want me to just sit. You just want me to wait and watch and relax and trust. I can't see a path forward, but I know you can. Because he's always going to want to either develop your gifts or deepen your faith. Or both. So March 23rd, 2012. Bad night. Saturday morning, got up, had kind of calmed down, started praying. All right, God, not what I wanted, not what I expected. Feels like an obstacle, but whew, what do you want us to do? What's our next step? And he says, well, what do you have? And so we start looking around and praying for the places where we kind of have connections already. At that time, TJ and I were both exercising at the new YMCA. We were there 4 or 5 days a week. And so I just began thinking about it and praying about it. And then Monday morning when I went to the gym, it was as if God just opened my eyes. And I saw it in a way I had never seen it before. The parking situation was actually better than Myrtle Beach Middle School. The children environment situation was actually better than Myrtle Beach Middle School. What we knew we could do in their gym to turn it into an auditorium was actually better than Myrtle Beach Middle School. And some of you know this part of the story because you found us at the YMCA. Because as we began to talk to the YMCA, they were super open to us moving in. It was no problem whatsoever. We made the move that summer. God again almost doubled the size of our church, grew us to a size and a strength to where we were able, when the opportunity presented itself, to lease this building, to renovate this building, to move into this building. 2.5 years ago, to be able to buy this building, this place that we now call home. And none of it would have happened without the obstacle. I'll tell you right now, I wasn't leaving that middle school because we had done it and it was working and we were middle school or bust. We were middle school until we could move out. But God had something better for us. He had something better planned for this church. And so it was only the opportunity of hitting that obstacle, hitting that shut door, hitting that confusion of not knowing. And because we chose to look up and say, hey, God, I don't know what you're doing, but we trust you. We believe you. Help us in this moment. Develop what we have. Deepen our faith. That he did and he moved. And here we are today. And the same can be true for you. The same is true for all of us. When we hit those moments, when we hit those pushbacks, when we hit the barriers that we think are stopping us from doing what God wants us to do, when the obstacles are big and God gets small, what would happen if we were pre-prepared in that moment? If we were pre-wired to try, you know what? I've heard this story before. I've seen this movie before. I know what comes next. And instead of panic, what if we prayed these words? God, help me to see the opportunity in this obstacle. God, help me to see how you want to develop my gifts in this moment. God, help me see how you want to deepen my faith in this moment. Because God, I trust you and I know you're at work. A couple things would happen. If that was our reaction, we prayed those prayers. A couple things. The obstacle will get a lot smaller. Our God would get a lot bigger. And our lives would get a lot better. Because the panic would turn to praise. Because we've seen the awe before. Because we know the stories. We know God moves. And we could be reminded of that moment. Man, I don't know what's going to happen. But y'all just better sit back and wait. Because this is going to be a story. God is about to provide in a way that we can't even imagine. So, if you find yourself facing an obstacle now, or if you want to be pre-prepared for the next obstacle you might face, memorize this prayer. God, help me to see the opportunity in this obstacle. God, help me to see what you're up to in my life. God, help me to see what you're going to do around me. God, grow my faith. God, help me to trust that even in this situation, you will make a way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. God, we're just so thankful for the simplicity of your word. We're so thankful that we can learn from the nation of Israel. We can learn these stories and we can apply them in our lives and we can trust that you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. God, I pray for everyone who may be currently facing an obstacle. For the rest of us, prepare us for the next obstacle. May we decide now to trust you in that moment. May we decide now that we're going to believe that you're at work, that we're going to look for the opportunity in the obstacle, the opportunity to grow us, the opportunity to develop our faith, the opportunity to pursue you. God, we love you. We're so thankful for how practical you are. Prepare our hearts for what you have planned. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray.